So before you're seated, if we could, I'm just going to read a little bit of the Word of God here out of Ecclesiastes, actually. And then we can be seated after that. I want to say something before I read this while we're still in a worship mode. And I felt this while I was back there. And if you could put those words back up there of the last chorus, "In every season." I had a word that came to me for this message, and that word was seasons. And I didn't know where to go. I begged God all week. I said, "Lord, you're going to have to show me what you're talking about here." And I feel like I'm looking at some people this morning that feel like they're going through a season. Actually, I'm looking for participation, I guess. If you feel like you're going through a season that really wasn't in your sight, or really kind of came upon you, and you're going, "Man, how long is this going to last? Can I just see your hand?" Yeah, there's a few of us here. In this season, and I felt like some of you are in a season, and you're in this race, and you got your head down, and you're plowing forward through this season, and you see the finish line, and you're moving towards the finish line, and that finish line keeps moving. It's in your sight. You can see it, and yet seems like the harder you run, the finish line just keeps moving, however fast you go. And I had a word. I forget how long ago it was, and I had a word, and I just shared it with the church briefly, and I said something like this. I said, "Spring is coming." But I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about seasons, I'm just going to read this word, and then we'll pray. So this is Ecclesiastes, and some of you probably know exactly where the scripture is, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this is Solomon, he's writing, and he says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And then he says, "There's a time to be born." Now he switches, see, some translations will say season. There's a season to be born. There's a season. But this scripture, I believe this is correct when it says there's a season for everything. To everything there's a season. Then he says there's a time. So I want to explain to you this morning the difference between a time and a season. But a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what was planted. There's a time to kill, there's a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gain, there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away. There's a time to tear and there's a time to sow. There's a time to keep silent and there's a time to speak. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. And there's a time of war and there's a time of peace. And then he says this, "What profit has a worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied." And then this is a verse that I learned in River School with Pastor Gordy, but it means a lot to me. He says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. And also he has put eternity in their hearts." He's put, in King James it says, he's put the world into the hearts of men. But the translation is, he's put eternity into the hearts of men. "Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end." And then I'm going to end with 12 and 13. "I know that nothing is better for them to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Spirit of God, I'm praying this morning that you would open up hearts and minds. I'm asking, Spirit of God, I've begged you all week, God. So I'm asking that you would show up. I'm asking, Spirit of God, you would preach this message. Use me as a vessel for the kingdom of God. I pray, Spirit of God, you would open up hearts and minds. You would tear off veils. You would take off muffs off of ears. I'm asking, God, you would tear off blinders and you would just let us see what the Spirit of God is saying in this day. And I pray, God, you would help us to honor the words that have come before this from in the last few months, just words that have led me to this place with you, God. And so this morning, I just pray that you would be honored and glorified. May you receive all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I might say a few things this morning. They might not necessarily be scriptural. They might be quotes from other men or other people that have gone before us. But I want you to, extend a little bit of mercy towards me this morning, because I might say some things that might not be in your life, but they are in some people's lives. And so I want to talk a little bit about seasons. So to begin with, when I look at what Solomon wrote, and this is a scripture that Solomon wrote, and we all know who Solomon was, but I look at the life of Solomon and I look at a man who was born. He was the second king of Israel. His father was he was the third king of Israel. His father was King David, and David, through Bathsheba, had Solomon, and Solomon was raised up to be king. And Solomon asked the Lord, God told him to pray what he needs, and he said, I just want wisdom. And the Lord said, since you didn't ask for things for yourself, you didn't ask for money, or you didn't ask for honor or glory, anything like that, I'm going to bestow everything else. I'm going to put it upon you. I'm going to give you money. I'm going to give you a kingdom. I'm going to give you everything, and I'm going to give you wisdom. And Solomon was made the wisest man on the face of the earth. And he had everything in his life. He had wisdom. And what happened with Solomon was, through his life, as his kingdom was built through a lot of women and through influences from outside of God, he actually fell away from God. Because of women, because of other influences. And I believe that Solomon wrote this, according to Scripture. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes towards the end of his life. And all of a sudden, Solomon had a shift in his perspective of what the kingdom of God was. You see, I believe Solomon actually, when he had all these riches, actually the Queen of Sheba, it says the Queen of Sheba came to Israel to see if it's actually true that Solomon had everything that people are talking about. And she came and she said, I actually see that you have more money, your kingdom is bigger and better than anybody has ever said, and you're also wiser than anything I've ever seen. And she kind of went home almost dejected, because she had nothing to prove to Solomon. He had everything he needed. And at the end of his life, Solomon, I believe it was towards the end of his life, after he had been pulled aside from his walk with God, after he had been influenced by outside influence, he married a lady out of Egypt. He married the Pharaoh's daughter, and he had influence from that way. And we could go on and on, but Solomon had a lot of women, 300 wives and 700 concubines, or else I have it vice versa there. But they influenced Solomon. They pulled him away from his walk with God. And then at the end of his life, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. And I don't want you to think that it almost sounds, as you read through this scripture, that Solomon became cynical or despondent or had lost hope. I actually believe that he was writing to us, writing to a future generation, look, don't become cynical, because it's easy to do. And then, but I want to go back and I want to talk a little bit about a season. So a season, when Solomon says, to everything there is a season is an appointed time. A season is an appointed time in your life. And I can look back over my life and I can go, I remember the season that I was in. I believe there are appointed times by God, and these seasons are not to be taken lightly. And these seasons, sometimes I feel like they can either make us or they can break us. And I want to go back a little bit, because we've had words that were spoken from the pulpit. We've had words that were spoken through worship, and I don't want to just pass over them. You hear on an average, If you go to church 52 times a week, you probably hear 45 or so sermons or messages a year. And if I would ask you to tell me the last 12, you could maybe name two or three. Some of you might take notes and you might remember better. But there have been words in last week, the words that were spoken from the pulpit, and I don't want to go back and quote everything that Gordy said, but Gordy said, basically said, it's time to get boots on the ground. Is that fair? Time to get boots on the ground. Sister Andrea came up and she said, she talked about the oaks. She talked about there's oaks replacing oaks, if that makes sense. And I feel that as well. And I believe that some of us are going through a season in our life where actually it's not made to break you. It's not made to break you. God, these are appointed seasons. Look, there's a difference between a time and a season. These are different words in the Greek. So a season is an appointed time. When he says that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, he's actually talking about there's a span of time, there's an experience, or there's an occasion. That is a time. A season is an appointed time, and I believe some of us have walked through seasons that have been absolutely from God. And they're not made to break you, they're actually made to grow you up. Some of these seasons that you walk through, and this is probably a harsh saying, but you've heard the saying, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. That is actually true in a sense. God doesn't, he doesn't appoint seasons in your life to make you. What he does is he puts seasons in your life so that the roots of this oak can go deep, deep, deep. Because if you never have opposition in your life, if you're never pressured in your life, I'm telling you, your roots aren't going to go very deep. And when the time comes to put the boots on the ground, when the time comes to lace up the boots, those roots might not be deep enough to take you through the next season. And there are times I'm going to go back and there's something that I've had a word in my mind as well for a couple of weeks, but I got the word season, and then there's another small phrase that I've said to somebody even at work on Thursday. I said, you're going to be somewhere forever. I'm not here to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not here to knock the life out of you or knock the breath out of you, but listen to me real closely. You're going to be somewhere forever. This life, the life that you live now, according to the scriptures, and I could look at older men and women that are sitting in here, and they're going to tell you, yeah, that's what it seems like. My life has been like the steam coming out of a tea kettle. You see it, this is scripturally says, your life compared to eternity is like the steam coming out of a tea kettle. And the steam coming out of a tea kettle, you'll see for a second or 2 seconds. Compared to eternity, your life is like that. And you're going to be somewhere forever. And there's a young lady at work that she was telling me how her favorite holiday is coming up, and that is Halloween. And I understood that she stays on the dark side. But I asked her a question. I said, do you believe that there's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness? Do you believe there's a force of good and a force of evil? You see, even those that don't believe, God has set the world into their hearts. He set eternity into the hearts of men. And she said, I believe I'll be somewhere forever. I just don't know where. She said, I believe that I might come back reborn as an animal or reborn as another person. I believe I might go to the third dimension. And I asked her, where's the third dimension? And she doesn't really know. She's just listening to voices. She's listening to people that are influencing her to believe this stuff when she actually doesn't know what she believes. But I asked her a question. I said, listen, I said, you're going to be somewhere forever. Why wouldn't you choose? Eternity is forever. You're going to be either praising Jesus face to face. You're either going to be praising God in heaven, or else you're going to be in hell. According to scripture, that's what it says. And so when I look at these seasons that Solomon is talking about, when he says there's a time to be born, you see, there's a time to be born, which is over here. There's an occasion, there's an experience of birth here, and then there's a span of time. And some of it ends here, and some of our span keeps going and going and going, but there's a time to die. And what I want to talk about is this span between birth and death in between here. I want to talk about seasons in our life that are not made to kill us, they're not made to break us, they're actually made to grow us up. And there are times in our life, and I believe that sometimes I've gotten confused about an appointed time by God to grow me up into something. I actually believe that I'm in a season right now. I'm in a season of life right now, and I feel sometimes like the finish line keeps moving. I'm plowing forward, but I'm telling you, there's a few quotes that I want to say this morning. But Max Lucado said something like this. He said, "If there is nobody, almost nobody, that goes on a trip for the trip." Very solemn. Pastor Gordy went on a trip to Florida, right? Did you go on the trip to travel?
No.
No. He went because of what?
Destination.
The destination. None of us, I believe, are in this life just for life if we are Christians. But many people around us, and there might be someone here that are getting wrapped up in it where we're just living life for life and we forget about the destination. I'm telling you, I believe that seasons are actually training grounds so that you can run the journey, so that you can run the life, because you know that there's a destination, that your life, that your home is not on this earth, that you're just a pilgrim. I actually told this lady on Thursday, I said, "Look, I am a child of light," and I said, "I'm actually a trespasser in the kingdom of darkness." If you are a child of light, you are a pilgrim on this earth, you are passing through, you are a trespasser into the kingdom of darkness. You're going to need the Spirit of God on your side to walk through the kingdom of darkness. I'm just here to tell you, seasons aren't easy. Times aren't easy. But sometimes I have gotten myself into a time where it was an experience or just an occasion, and I called it a season, but it was a self-inflicted time. I got myself into that situation, but I believe that God, He appoints seasons in our life. He makes appointed times in our life so that we can grow up and understand what the kingdom of God is all about. I trained last Saturday, me and my wife, so we had a little getaway because of our anniversary, and I had trained for a Spartan race. And this was a Spartan Super, so you're looking at, it was 7.3 miles with 27 obstacles. I didn't train nearly as hard as I should have, but I trained for this Spartan race. And I had been training for the Spartan race, and on the morning of the race, my wife wanted me to drop her off at Goodwill because it was raining, it was nasty, and we had gone to Goodwill Outlet Center the night before, and I told some people, I said, "Mina thought she went to heaven, I thought I went the other way." So these outlet centers are crazy, I'm just telling you. But I had trained for this Spartan race, and as we were going out, walking out of the motel, it was cold and it was rainy, and I knew there was going to be water and I knew there was going to be mud. And Mina said something, and this is not against Mina, but she said, "You don't have to do it." I wouldn't do it. I didn't run that race. I didn't run that race for mile 3 or 4. You know why I ran that race? To finish. I ran that race to finish. And I knew that it was going to be hard. And I knew that I was going to, because of the weather, I knew I was going to go through mud. I knew the water was going to be ice cold. It absolutely took my breath away. I knew all of that. And yet I did it anyway because I trained. And I believe that a lot of us are on training grounds. A lot of us are training to run for the kingdom of God. But when the time actually comes, it might not look like you thought. I'm telling you, I believe the time is going to be here before you know it, when you're going to have to lace up the boots, when you're going to have to run the race that you've trained for. But what happens, I believe, in our Western culture is we don't have the stamina to run races. I'm sorry if this offends you, but we don't have the stamina to run these races like some of the Christians do that live in a third world a country that are being persecuted for their faith. And so we are on training grounds, and I believe these seasons are made to grow us up, because there's a time coming where we're going to have to lace up the boots and we're going to have to run this race, and there's going to be a finish line. There has to be an end goal, not just you don't want to just run, you don't want to just drive, you don't want to do just a trip. You have a destination in mind. And Solomon, at the end of his life, he realized he wasn't being cynical. He didn't have lost hope, but he realized that, he said, there's just a lot of vanity. There's a lot of vanity in selfish toil, is what he said. There's a lot of vanity in gain and in honor for ourselves. And if you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember a few words. You're going to be somewhere forever. When I was... Man, my mind goes to crazy places. I'm sorry. But when I was still Amish, and this is something that got quoted in the Amish church, was "Dang it often to feel let you dingy." Who remembers that? Look at that. You think often in the judgment, you think often in death, you think often in heaven, and you think often in hell. Here's what I want to say about this. There's some truth to that. But think often in heaven. You see, sometimes what we try to do is we try to just scare the hell out of people. And I don't say that as a joke. We try to scare them so they don't want to sin. We try to just scare the hell out of them. You're going to go to hell if you do this. You're going to go to hell if you don't do this. But you see, there's a difference between religion that will tell you that and the Spirit of God that says, no, look, if you do this, you get to taste and see what the kingdom of God is like. You get to worship in heaven forever. You should think often in heaven, because there is something that drives you to keep running the race, because there's a prize far greater than any weight that is on this earth. There is a glory in heaven that we will never experience on this earth. And I'm telling you, it's just like Paul says, there is nothing on this earth. There is no height, no depth. There is nothing that will separate me from the love of God. And if we have eternity on our minds, if we have kingdom, if we're kingdom minded throughout our life, kingdom minded through every season, kingdom minded through every time, it'll drive us. It'll keep pushing us. We'll keep seeing the finish line. It might keep moving, but I'm telling you, we're going to keep our head down. We're going to keep plowing. And I feel like some of you today are in a season of plowing. The dirt is hard, the dirt is dry, and you're plowing, and you've got your head down, and you're going, I can keep doing this, I can keep doing this. But I'm telling you, stop plowing, look to heaven and say, Jesus, you said, if there's anyone weary, if there's anyone tired, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. Some of us are trying to pull a heavy load, but Jesus said, no, you can go through this season. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to lace up the boots, but I have a yoke that you can put on your shoulder, and I want to walk with you through this time. I want to grow you up. I want to make your roots go down. I'm growing you up to be the next oak. I had a word one time, I believe it was from my brother Leon, when I said, is Leon Lehman here? I hope it's okay if I share this. But when I said, I see you, there's an oak tree. Your roots are going down deep because of what you're going through. There's people that have written you off. But I'm telling you, when this oak tree is big, and when there's leaves on it, and when there's a shadow coming, there's somebody that had written him off is going to come back and find shade. They're going to come back and find nourishment. They're going to come back and find words of wisdom. And that word might not just be for him, but it was specific for him at that time. How do you think your roots are going to go deep? You've got to withstand some storms. You've got to withstand a few seasons. I haven't even started on this message. I think I have. You're going to be somewhere forever. The world or eternity, that is in our heart. There is a continuous existence. It is hard for me to fathom. It's hard for me to grasp sometimes when I'm going at the end of this life. Look, I don't want to... diminish anything. Please understand me. I'm not diminishing your life. I'm not diminishing the world that we live in. Sometimes I've struggled with, does God really care about that? There's a man that said something at work. He would be my boss, and he said something to me that really got me thinking, and it actually convicted me. He's not a believer as far as I can tell. But he said something like this. He said his son came home, and he was all anxious and fearful about some things. And his dad said a few simple words. He said, is this a first world problem? And his son said, yes, it is. And he went down to the basement, and he came back out later, and he said he was a lot better. And I've thought about that often. You see, I'm not here to diminish anything. Elmina had an accident with the van. The van was totaled out. It worked. Everything worked out okay. And through this whole process, I don't think I ever told her, but I kept thinking, this is a first world problem. I'm not diminishing it. Did I pray for God to help us through? Yes, I did. Did I pray that God would show us another vehicle? Yes, I did. Why? Because I want to be a steward of the things that have been given to me by God. But some of the things that drive us into anxiety, that drive us into fear, some of the things that drive us into depression, if you step back and you think, you're going, that's actually a first world problem. There are millions of people that don't even know what we're talking about. And I'm not, please understand me, I'm not diminishing your life or what you walk through or the things that you face. It's good to pray about it. I saw a video last night that my wife showed me. It's a Christian comedian. And he said, some of the prayer requests that come to God, he's going, what? I don't know if God does this. I prayed for stuff, and I'm going, I don't know if God cares. God cares about the details. But he said they had a prayer request for some hikers that hiked up Mount Everest, and they were at the top, and there's a snowstorm or something like that coming. And he goes, prayer requests for disease, prayer requests for war, prayer requests for peace and God. And then he picks one up, and he goes, prayer hikers on Mount Everest. They should have prayed for wisdom before they went. Who told them to go up there? And sometimes I get caught in that. Sometimes our experience will drive us into places and we're going, God, but I believe that there's a merciful God that says, look, you got yourself in a situation, I'll help you out. But when I think of that, when I think of first world problems, there are many things in my life that I face that are first world problems that people across the ocean or people in other nations, they'll never face it. You know what they're facing? Survival. Survival. I'm going to go to some more scripture here in just a bit, but I want to encourage you this morning, because there are many things in our life. There's a, what's that called? The serenity prayer. The serenity prayer is God, help me to accept the things that I cannot change. Somebody help me here. And the courage to change the things that I can. God, help me to accept the things I cannot change. Sorry, hang on. Dean, go ahead. And the wisdom to know the difference. I believe that's a legit prayer. Some of us, including Jerry, I need to focus on what I can control. Because there is stuff that is out of my control. There is stuff that will drive me into anxiety. There is stuff that will drive me into fear. And I had a doctor's appointment on Monday, and the doctor said, you need to calm down. That's what he told me. I do. I need to calm down. I need to watch what I eat. Different stuff like that. I'm not going in detail, but that's what the doctor told me. And so I step back and I go, the things that are bringing anxiety or fear. And please, I'm just a transparent guy. Do I struggle with fears and anxiety and things of the future? And I should be here. I'm 43 years old. I shouldn't have to do this. I should be doing this. I should be all of this stuff. Where I didn't think life was going to be this way at the age of 43. I thought I was going to have everything figured out. I thought I was going to be wise and people were going to come under the oak tree and ask for wisdom. And I'm still seeking it and all of that stuff. Yeah, I do have those thoughts. I'm human, but I step back and I go, God, I'm going to need you. Here's a quote by Max Lucado. We can't change the process. Now, there's... So I'll talk to those that are younger than me. All of us are going to go this. All of us, if we live long enough, we're going to get old enough that we're going to die. I'm sorry, it's inevitable. Every one of us, if Jesus doesn't come back, if the rapture doesn't happen before you get old enough to die. But there's something I want to say, and I know some of you go, man, you're just a young guy. Yeah, you're old. Max Lucado says this: we can't change the process, but we can change our attitudes. And I'm not saying, please understand me, you're going, well, you're young, you don't know half the stuff that I know. I agree with you, but here's one thing that I know: if I control the things that I can control, I can control my attitude towards it. And be thankful in every season. We find a reason to worship God. I'm gonna flip this on you just a little bit. Some of you are going, how do you put those two scriptures together? Because I'm gonna go from Old Testament to New Testament. Bear with me. If we keep a kingdom mind, that's what I want to tell you today. You're gonna be somewhere forever. And we have to be kingdom-minded through every time, through every season. In everything that we walk through, we have to be kingdom-minded. Sometimes I get a little bit too cynical or too despondent where I'm going, I don't even know if I want to do that because it's going to burn here soon. And I don't want to have that attitude, because I want to be a steward with what the Spirit of God has given me. But I believe that Solomon realized he was towards the end of his life, and he was going, everything that I have worked for, everything that I have, I put my, so let's take an acronym, TIME, TIME. Time, interest, money, and energy. If you tell me where you're spending those four things, time, interest, money, and energy, if you tell me where those four things in your life are going, I can tell you where your heart is set. And I believe that Solomon realized all of a sudden all the time, all the energy, all the money, all the interest, all his life, the hard work, the blood, the sweat, and the tears that he had put into building this kingdom, he realized that it's not going to go with him. All of a sudden, he realized that I have to turn this over to somebody else. And some of us in here are probably thinking that way. You mean everything that I work for, I'm going to turn this over to somebody else, and they're going to do it. They're going to take it. They might tear it down. They might build it up, or they might just let it go to dust. And we get this anxiety and this fear inside of us. And I look at children coming after me, and I'm going, the things that I am building, what am I leaving behind them? And I'm telling you, I'm more concerned about leaving a legacy behind than I am leaving a kingdom behind. Because that is something that they can grab onto. I want them to hang on to the coattails of mom and dad and realize that they walked a Christian life and realize that the things on this earth didn't hold them. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you to go sell your boat and go sell your four-wheeler and sell all the things that bring you pleasure. But I'm telling you that in every time, in every season, we have to have this kingdom mind and eternity in mind, because God has set that in our hearts. And we have to realize that the things that we have now are temporal. And this might be a sobering message, but it is true. And if it's not true, if you don't feel like it's true, you can come and see me. I'm going to go to another scripture that you're probably going, how did you come up? How did you correlate these two? Well, talk to the Spirit of God. I told somebody this morning, that I don't know if I've ever, I got a few words and said, all week long, I don't know if I've ever begged the Spirit this much to reveal, bring revelation and understanding. But I believe that the Spirit of God takes a, not a season, but took this time to grow me up into something, say, you have to trust me. This is in Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. Now, this Luke chapter 14, it says that Jesus went to the house of the Pharisees. He was sitting down. He was eating dinner with the Pharisees. Some stuff happened, but for time's sake, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And at one time, you can call this message whatever you want. I had called it Seasons, Somewhere Forever. And then I had another title was Dinner with the Master. So I don't care what you call it. You can call it whatever. Verse 15 in chapter 14 says, now when one of those who sat at the table with him, with Jesus, heard these things. He heard Jesus speak in parables. Go back and read it. But this man, I believe it was a Pharisee, he was sitting at the table. Jesus said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, these parables are actually, Jesus will tell you that the kingdom of God is likened unto this when he would speak in parables. This one, he didn't necessarily say that. But this is the kingdom of God is likened unto this story right here, this parable right here. And then said Jesus to this man, I believe it was a Pharisee, he said, a certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, now please get this right here, the ones that he sent out a servant, he said, look, it's time for the supper. It's time for dinner with the master. You have been invited. And I believe that every one of us in here has heard the invitation that we can be a part of the kingdom of God. I saw it this morning, and I didn't know I kept it in my Bible, if I can find it. Nope, can't find it. I have a check, and I believe I got it. It said 2019. I believe I got it down at a leadership conference in Texas called Linger. But this check was made out to, you can make it out to me, but then it was, basically, it was, this is your check. It was from Jesus Christ, and he gave us his promises. He said, you can take this, and you can, there's one right there. I thought I had it in my Bible, left it in my. So this is from the Lord Jesus Christ, this check right here. It says 2/16/2019. That's when we were at Linger. Matthew 20, 28, it's Matthew's gospel, new heaven and new earth, Revelation 20 and 22. Paid to the order of, and then it says, paid to the order of, me or Barb or John or Susie. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. And then in the bottom where it says, for, it's signed by Jesus Christ, says, for full abundant life. Those are the promises of God. And see, I believe that the kingdom of God can be fulfilled here on this earth. You can walk in the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of heaven, but I believe that we can walk in the kingdom of God. And to be partakers of the kingdom of God, there's going to take some sacrifice. And I want to read this story to you before we go into prayer. But he says, there's a certain man who gave a great supper. He invited many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, these people had been invited. The servant went out and said, look, the invitation, it's time to come now. You got the invitation. It's time to eat. And this, here's what happened. Come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18, but they all with one accord began to make excuse. And I looked at this and I go, I have been guilty of a season in my life where I was, it seemed like I was going through the pit. I was stuck in the mire. The finish line kept moving out of my reach. And I was stuck in this season and I started making excuse for not being a part of the kingdom of God. You hear what Jalen said this morning about discipleship? Look for a raise of hands, and again, not for judgment. If I would look for a raise of hands, maybe not in here, but in large crowds, and I say, is there somebody in here who would like discipleship? Somebody in here who would like for somebody to walk with them, read the Bible, study the Word, and spend time with them? Spend their time, their interest, their money, and their energy. Is there somebody in here? And I believe more hands would raise than they would if I would say, now who's willing to disciple these people? We find excuse for not being a part of the kingdom of God. You see, the Lord wants us to be a part of the kingdom. He wants us to build. He wants us to learn. He wants us to sit at the table, to sit at dinner with the master. And they started making excuse. And I have three words here for the excuses that they made. The first one said that I have bought a piece of land. I bought a piece of ground and I must go see to it. A lot of us have need in our life. There's necessity in our life. I have a family. I need a piece of ground. I need a house to live in. And I need a job to support that. We need vehicles to drive. We need all of it so I can get to my job. There is need. There is necessity. Please understand me. All three of these, there is absolutely nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with them, but this man used the necessity to make an excuse for not joining the master at the table. He said, I asked you to have me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I'm asking you to have me excused from having dinner with the master. The second excuse was, I believe, is investment. First one was necessity. There are a lot of us in here that have investment. There is nothing wrong with investment. If you can do it, you should probably do it. You should invest. But it can never be an excuse for not being a part of the kingdom of God. It can never be an excuse for not joining Jesus at the dinner table and spending time with the master. He wants to speak to you. He wants to bring revelation to you. He wants to bring understanding to you. He actually says, and James said, if you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom. He needs you to walk in the kingdom of God, because I'm telling you, there are people that have just come out of extreme darkness that have said, I want to follow Jesus, and yet there's nobody to show them the way. I believe that we talk about revival all the time. We talk about a revival. There's a revival going to sweep the nation. There's revival going to sweep the world. But in just what happened in the last couple of weeks, I see people being plucked by the Spirit of God out of utter darkness and being revived and being told that you can have eternal life. You can have eternal salvation. They're on the verge of death. They're on the verge of taking their own life. I believe that revival is happening because the Spirit of God and His mercy is plucking people out and setting them up. And He's saying, you can be a part of the kingdom of God. You can be a part of the kingdom of God because I've died for it. I've paid for it. I've written the check. All you have to do is sign your name and cash it. And the ones that have been invited, the ones that have received the invitation, the ones that have been grown up and they know about it, they have everything that they need, are the ones that are making excuse. And Jerry's guilty. Another one said, still another one said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That one there, so I wrote these down, and these are, you can tell me if you think something different, but they were necessity, they were investment, and the other one is just life or affection. Gordy talked about I believe you said the seat of our affection. Is that correct? You see, sometimes the seat of our affection dictates how much we pour into the kingdom of God. I have a wife and children at home. I'm just going to be transparent with you. This is how Jerry's mind works. I can tell you on quite a few Wednesday afternoons, I'm going, I wish there was nothing required of me. I wish nobody would miss me if I wouldn't go. There have been times on Sunday morning when I wake up and I'm going, I wish nobody expected anything out of Jerry. That's ministry. The pastors will probably tell you the same thing. There are days when they don't really want to be seen by public because they're human and they struggle with some of the same stuff you do. But I'm telling you, what, you know what drives them is the finish line. What drives them is a kingdom mind. What drives them is God has set eternity in their hearts just like you. That has to drive us. And the ones that were invited, the ones that had the invitation, all made excuse because of need, because of investment, and just because of affection. Believe me, spend time with your wife. Stay at home with your wife and kids. Spend time with them. I need to talk to me many a times. Jerry, you need to, you know, your affection is at home. You need, there's ministry at home even. But there are times when the kingdom of God will call you out and say, I need you over here for a little while. Your wife and kids are going to be okay. I don't mean this to be a heavy message. I want to encourage you. I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And just if I can speak straight, we put out a call this morning for ushers. Pretty easy job. We put out a call for nursery workers, very, very much needed. If you don't know where to start, giving up your oxen, giving up your wife, don't take it that way. Don't give up your wife, your partner. Start there. It's well appreciated. Then said the master, so he came and reported, he said, the ones that you invited, they have an excuse. They're not coming. The master said, well, I need you to go out quickly. He was angry. He said to his servant, go out quickly, go into the streets and the lanes of the city, bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Go out and call the ones who don't have first world problems. Is that too harsh? Go out and call the ones who are not making excuses because they actually don't have a yoke of oxen to see after. They actually don't have a piece of ground to live on. They actually don't have a family to go to. Go out and call the ones that are lame, that are maimed, and that are blind. Go and call the poor because they're not going to make excuse. They're going to be glad to be written the check of salvation. Go call them. And so some of them came. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. We want to worship God and then pray with some people. And the servant said, Master, it is done, and as you commanded, there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. You see, the reason that sometimes the Spirit of God needs you to leave the yoke of oxen, the reason that sometimes the Spirit of God needs you to leave your piece of ground, the reason that the Spirit of God sometimes needs you to leave your wife or your husband for just a little bit, I'm not talking about leaving then, I'm talking about for a little bit maybe, is so that the ones in the hedges and in the highways and in the byways, so for the ones that are on the other side, for the ones that even as it says in Acts, the ones that are afar off, so that salvation can come to them, because the kingdom of God is lacking workers, and the harvest is becoming ripe, and Jesus has said, I need these men and women to sit at my table to eat dinner with me so that they can feel my heart, they can feel what I want. I have prayed, this is a dangerous prayer. God, give me eyes of understanding. Give me, let me feel what you feel for the broken. Let me feel what you feel for the lost. Don't pray it if you're not serious. It won't let you go. I want to encourage you with something this morning. We're going to have the worship team come up. I think they might be lost. Somebody go invite them. This morning, as we go into worship, I I just want to encourage you with this. You have trained. You've trained for the season. Now go and run. You've trained for the race. Don't be afraid to run it. There might be somebody, there might be a Mina who comes to you and says, you don't have to do it. I wouldn't do it. It's too wet, it's too rainy, it's too cold. Oh, there she is. I knew that would bring her out. There might be somebody that will do that, but I want to tell you, you've trained for the race. Go ahead and run it. And this morning as we go into worship, are you ready? If you would stand with me, I want to just say this. This is not a message to bring you down. This is a message to encourage you, because the yoke of Jesus Christ is light. His burden is light. And he wants to take heaviness off of you. And there are some people in here this morning that I believe that's why I got the message, that you're going through a season in your life that was not really on your radar. You're going through a season in your life that you're going, God, I just want to get through. But I want to encourage you with something. As you go through this season, there are days where you want to just go into the bedroom, shut the door, and cry. You don't want to be seen. There are days where you don't want to leave the house. There are days where you'd rather just sit in darkness with a light off. I'm telling you, it's okay. It's okay. But I want you to keep one thing in mind. Keep this eternal perspective in mind. See, there's people that will tell you, this too shall pass. This too shall pass, right? People will tell you that. It will pass, but I want you, in the time that you're in the season that you're in, you find a reason to worship God. You find a reason to thank him for what he's done. You know, I thought of that. It's a small thing. It's probably a trivial thing, but having an accident, having to buy a new car, all of this stuff, you keep going, it's just a time. We're going to get through this. It's not bad at all. And then you look back and you go, what was I worried about? But there are seasons in our life that you are, and even myself, are walking through, and we're going, I need an extra dose of faith right now. God, I need an extra dose of strength right now. Some of us are waiting for healing. Some of us are waiting for restoration and reconciliation with family, with marriage. Some of us are just waiting because for our job to pick back up, because financially it's a struggle. And you're going, God, what are you trying to show me through this time? And we keep this eternal perspective, the kingdom of God, on our minds. And so as we worship this morning, if you want prayer, if you want to be left alone, we said this last time, if you want to be left alone and just spend time at the altar with God on the left side, it'd be your left. And if you want to be prayed with, just come over here from the right side on over. And we have brothers and sisters. If you feel like praying with somebody, come forward. You don't have to be an elder or pastor. So if you want prayer, faith, man, I do pray. It's almost like it's like when Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil has asked for your soul that you can be sifted like wheat. You know, when you sift something, it means that sifting actually in Greek means it's a shaking that will shake everything out. But what happens, he said, he's asked for your soul that you may be shifted like wheat. Everything that can fall through is going to fall through. But Jesus said, I'm praying that your faith would be strong. And some of you just need somebody to stand with you and say, man, I'm just standing with you. Let's have faith. I want your faith to be strong through this time. So as we sing, if you want prayer, please come forward. And
small disclaimer, if I can add. The reason I told Jerry he doesn't have to is because he's spent money to enter the race. And I want him to know, even though he already spent the money, he doesn't have to run it.
Yes.
Just so y'all know.
And
even though I never would have done it in the rain.
I do
me.
Tell people that halfway through the race, I told somebody, I said, I can't believe I paid to get my butt kicked like this.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was probably... Okay. Yes, feel free to come up to the altar. We're going to start by singing Desert Song. Audrey, we're going to flip it back to Desert Song.
We'll sing and shout the victory.
Oh, when we get to see him face to face.
When we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Sing and shine.
I know we all face our trials, don't we? I want to encourage you with something else today, if I might. While we are in what Jerry talked about, first world issues, I don't know what's in your feed on Facebook, but I'm going to tell you, the hand of God is moving all over the place. I see revivals breaking out in various areas. I got a text from Kyle. He went back to South Africa and then went back down to Malawi and was back in the presidential palace. Had the first chapel service in the presidential palace ever. Over 300 people were in that chapel service. Then they invited him to share at halftime of a professional soccer game. 2,000 people in the stands. After that, they asked him to come into the locker room, so to speak. And the local soccer team and three other athletic teams joined him. And they gave him wristbands, cards in their own language. 38 people stood up to receive Jesus Christ in that meeting. And the doors seemed to be continually open. He took some more, again, people from here that work in mining, and they want to open the mining back up in Malawi because there's riches in it, but they're too poor to do anything about it. And so now they're taking people from here back down there and say, we just want to bless your nation. We want to help you get started back into mining, and so that you can have prospering in this because you have called your nation to repentance. But we're seeing all kinds of things in different pockets. And so I want us to be aware, while we're seeing a lot of things that could really discourage us, we're seeing the war in Israel, we're seeing, you know, just a bunch of junk in our own nation, unrest and all kinds of issues. God's hand is not slack, nor is his arm shortened, but he is working in this day, and we need to concentrate on working with him, just like Jerry said. It might be a personal season, but God's got a time. And we can work in his time. And I bless you in that. And I bless him for the message this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that God, when our eyes are truly fixed upon you, nothing is out of place. Oh, we might look with our eyes and see things. And yet, God, you're going to take us all the way through. There's nothing that can detour your things from coming to pass. And so, God, while we walk through our seasons, and some of them very heavy, you know where we are. You see where we are. And may we find that place to praise you. Because in every season, you are still God. And I have a reason to worship. And so, God, as we leave this place this morning, we're asking you, Father, you don't have to bless us more. Just open our eyes to what you've already given and what you've done. Help us to see how bountiful our lives are in you. Thank you for the love you've expressed. Thank you the way you provide. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for this message this morning. We bless you in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here today. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.